Well, we had it in the bulletin that we wanted to pick up once again another message in the theme of standing firm. And we had the opportunity to have five messages before we took that little vacation. And now that we're back here in the pulpit, we wanted to pick up this theme for two or three more Sunday evenings as we have some different thoughts and different toppings. Thinking of those pizzas last night, wasn't I? It's topics, not toppings. Tonight we want to, well, I'm not going to tell you, because if I tell you, then you're already going to know the answer to what I'm going to ask here in a minute. I just about let the cat out of the bag. This morning I said something really dumb, and I just about let the cat out of the bag again. Why don't we pray? Maybe that would help, okay? We do thank you, Father, that we can be here this evening. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we have the opportunity to serve you. I pray that you would be glorified. Pray, Lord, that you would be honored here, and I pray that you would give us the ability to understand. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you might be able to speak to hearts through me. Pray that I might not get in the way of what you intend for each of us to take home tonight. In your name I pray and thank you. Amen. Sometimes people play the game of association, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. The game that I'm talking about is when I say a particular word, you tell me what comes to your mind. You know, that anybody ever play a game like that? Okay. Here's the word. Christianity. What comes to your mind? Church. Love. Christ. Salvation. Jesus. Pardon? Mercy. Joy. Paul. Honor. Truth. More association, because you haven't hit it yet. Everlasting life, the cross, resurrection, Christianity. What comes to your mind? What is characteristic of Christianity? Pardon? Followers of Christ, witnessing. Carol, you said something. Christ, the Bible. Now I've got you all really thinking, don't you? Aren't you? Pardon? Bonnie Jo, I didn't hear that. Maybe I can't spell. The what? Christians, first called Christians in Acts. Okay, well, you're thinking, but let me tell you what comes to my mind, because it's really the topic of where we're to be standing firm in this evening. How often, when we think of Christianity, does serving others top the list? And it was interesting as we listened to what comes to your mind as you think of Christianity. Nobody suggested serving others. The closest it got was when Benny said following Christ. I wonder if there's a reason for that. How come serving others? Serving, that's suggestive of what? If you're going to be a good servant, you have to give up what? Pardon? Self. Your own interests. Pardon?
Die to self.
Die to self. Live to Christ. That comes hard for a lot of people, doesn't it? But I want us to look this evening at some reminders. Okay, I almost said Joel. You don't look like Joel. You look like Mr. Judson back there to me. If you're looking for a title tonight, Mr. Judson, Joel always is. In serving, stand firm. In serving, stand firm. I want us to just look at some reminders from God's Word. And I want us to see how important this thing is as far as, well, is that big of a deal that we ought to be standing firm in serving others? My first point is, let's look at our Lord's example. Our Lord's example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll pick up verse 26 to begin with here. Where does this come from? Where does this idea, where does this thought of serving others even originate? It originates with our Savior, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28, Jesus said, "But it shall not be so among you." He had talked about who's the greatest. His disciples were asking, "Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest?" And Jesus makes it clear that as far as he's concerned, he does not judge or evaluate like most people do. "It shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." Let him be your servant, the one who is going to be serving. That's where greatness lies. Let him be your minister. "And whosoever will be chief among you." Top one. The most important. "Whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." How many of us understand the concept of being ministered unto? We all know that, don't we? That's always pretty nice when we have some needs or somebody is thinking about us and they want to do something for us. How many of us have trouble with that? Sometimes our pride gets in the way. And we don't want someone else to do something for us. But most times it's kind of nice when someone just out of the goodness of their heart decides they want to do something, minister to you. We can take that. We can handle that. But Jesus said, "That's not why I came. I did not come so that people would wait on me, meet my needs all the time. But I came to minister, to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many." So the first thing that we see this evening as we're looking at these reminders of how important is this, our Savior set the example. He lived the example, didn't he? That was what he was known for. He served others. And we find that this was his example. He came to serve and to give his life an example for others. Secondly, I wonder if our Lord wants us to do that same thing. I believe our second point answers that when we look at our Lord's enablement. He enabled us to serve others. Excuse me, many times when we start talking about serving others, we find that quite often people, I couldn't, I can't, I don't have any talents, and we can rattle off quite a litany of reasons why we can't serve others, why we can't do this, we can't do that. But they're not valid reasons if we stop and think about the fact that the Lord, through His Spirit, has enabled each and every one of His own children with a gift to be able to serve others for the cause of Christ. Our Lord's enablement is this thought. First reference would be Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We begin at verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." And here is where we need some, once again, we need some clarification. You know, sometimes we find people that it just seems as though, they are so far down on the ladder, so far down on the scale in their minds, and you talk to them about abilities and things like this. Never. I can't do anything. Paul counteracts that when he says, don't think more highly than you ought to think, but by the same token, think soberly. Be honest. Be honest. According as God hath dealt to how many people? Pardon? Every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or teaching, or exhortation, or giving. We've mentioned this before, but do you realize that though every person, let everyone lay up in store according as God hath prospered? Jonathan went over it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, on the first day of the week you set aside so there will be no need when I come to gather collections. That's just common fare for every believer. God expects us to give a portion of what He has given to us. But do you realize that there are also those in the body of Christ to whom God has given the gift of giving. He has given them the ability to not only make money, but they recognize that God has given this to me and I want to give it back for His glory. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Or he that ruleth. Oh, you're talking dictatorship? No, we're talking about those that had those positions of leadership. Let him do it with diligence. Or here's the gift of mercy. Showing mercy to others, and you do it with cheerfulness. So we find here that the Lord has enabled His children to have gifts to be used for what? Why do you think God gives those different gifts? Just so that we can walk around and say, well, you know, I'm sure glad that I have that gift of teaching. Yeah, I know they're looking for Sunday school teachers. I know they keep crying out for Awana teachers, leaders, but boy, I'm sure glad I have that gift of teaching or leading or just ministering. Why do you think God gave those to us? So that we would do what with them? Use in the name of Christ among others. 1 Peter chapter 4, along this same point. 1 Peter chapter 4. We see a similar thought. We begin at about verse 8 of 1 Peter 4. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging or murmuring. As every man hath received a gift, here again we see. We saw the example of our Lord. He came not so that people would take care of Him, meet His needs. He came to minister to others, and He has equipped His own to do that same thing. As our Savior set the example, He has given us the enablement, as we see it here in verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So here we see, our Lord has enabled us. Not everybody has the same enablement. We have different gifts, different abilities. We could also go to about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to look at it, but we find those same truths brought out there. That though the body is one, there are many members, and each member has its own function. And that's what we need to take to heart here this evening. The Lord has given us the example. He moved among, he ministered among people, and He wants His own followers, His own children, to be doing the same thing. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have any ability. He has given us each one at least one gift. And He expects us to be serving others in the name of the Lord with that gift. We see our Lord's instruction, thirdly. We looked at the Lord's example. We saw the Lord's enablement. We see our Lord's instruction, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He expects us to be ministering to others, especially fellow or sister believers. That portion we looked at in Romans chapter 12, we left off at verse 9. We pick up about right there, and we see that Paul mentioned in Romans 12, 9 this. He said, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we saw the importance of love. And we find in ministering to others, in using these gifts, we are to be doing it out of love. As Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, though I have the gift of tongues and though I have the faith to move all mountains, if I don't have love, what good is it? If we're not using our gifts in love, if we're using them hypocritically, we might think we're doing the job. We might think we're ministering to others, but the Lord's not getting the glory. He goes on, we are, verse 10, to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We find that we are to be, in verse 11, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, standing firm. Why, Pastor, do you even carry this thought of standing in serving, stand firm? Have you ever noticed that oftentimes when you serve others, you're not appreciated? How many have ever noticed that? Kind of makes you really want to just get in there and say, yippee-yay, let's just keep it up. You give, and how many times do they come and tell you thank you? How many times do they appreciate? Here's where where the rubber has to meet the road. And we need to ask ourselves the question, is my enthusiasm for serving dependent upon the appreciation that is shown to me? Or is my enthusiasm for serving because I know that was the example that our Lord set? He has given us the ability, and we find that He has given us the instruction. We are to serve others in His behalf. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Yes, especially if they thank you for it. Yes, especially if they appreciate what you're doing. That's not in the King James. We rejoice in hope. As you look down through these next verses, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Sometimes you get criticized for it. Sometimes people misunderstand you. They misinterpret what you're doing. Sometimes it's easy, humanly speaking, to just say, I've had it. You give, and guess what? What do you get for it? People complain. People make statements. They don't appreciate what you do. We need to, in service, stand firm. You know, this is where we have to do a heart check. Every day we need to ask ourselves, for whom am I doing what I am doing today? If I am doing something in the name of the Lord toward others, am I really doing it for the Lord? Or am I doing it in hopes they will appreciate it, in hopes they will say thank you, in hopes maybe they'll say something about it in the bulletin, or pastor might mention it from the pulpit as he makes the morning announcements? If that's why we're doing it, our service is, it's not for the Lord. We're certainly not going to be rewarded for it. He goes on here in Romans 12. We are, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. Have you ever noticed that it's easier to be kind and loving and serving to this person over here because they always seem to appreciate it, as opposed to this one over here? When you serve them, they almost express the attitude that they expected it of you and they deserved it. Humanly speaking, which one would we rather minister to? Well, this one over here, who seems to be so receptive and appreciative. Yet it tells us here we are to be of the same mind one toward another. You know what? I can't do that on my own. That's something I have to ask the Lord for the grace to be able to do that. And so do you. Because human nature gets in the way. And our feelings get hurt, we get ticked, we want to throw in the towel, and yet we find that our Lord set the example. He didn't come so that people would wait on Him. He came for the purpose of serving, and He's given us the equipment to do it. He's given us the gifts. He has instructed us to do it. And fourthly, He has given us some words of assurance. Others may not appreciate what you're doing. Others may not have your name in the bulletin, make the names public at the announcements. But you know there is someone who is keeping track of everything you and I do for the right motive and the right reason. Next time we think, I've had it, I'm going to quit, I'm going to throw in the towel, what's the use? Remember 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we serve the Lord, nobody else may ever say thank you, but if we're serving out of a pure heart, the Lord says, your labor is not in vain. Why should I continue this? Nobody appreciates it. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Finally, remember I said, there may not be anybody making all kinds of expressions, appreciations, making those announcements, and you wonder, does anybody, is that, you know, you give, does anybody even know Does anybody even care? Why should I keep doing this? Here's what I said. There's one who keeps tabs of everything. And we close with this thought in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. Our Father is going to reward us in His time, in His way. Not one genuine act in His name for the right motive as we serve others goes unnoticed, and one day He will reward us. Let's stand firm in serving others. May God help us. Why don't we just stand at this time to our feet, and we'll close in prayer, shall we? We're thankful, Father, for the challenges from Your Word. I pray, Lord, that we would take this to heart. I pray, Lord, that we would do some searching. Why do we do what we do? Is it because nobody else is doing it? Is it for the fame? Is it for the accolades, the expressions of thanks? Is it because we like to have people point out publicly, look what so-and-so is doing? Oh God, help us to recognize the importance of serving. That's Christianity. Serving others. It might not be the first thing that comes to our mind, but it's so important. You demonstrated it. May we practice it more for Your glory. In Your name I pray. Amen.